Well, Pastor Corey asked me to fill in for him this morning, and as always, it's a pleasure and honor to be standing here with you all today. So we'll be continuing on through our study of the Psalms of Ascent. We're just over halfway through now, and today we'll be looking at Psalm 128. As a quick recap, the Psalms of Ascent are 15 songs the Jews would sing as they made their way up to Jerusalem for the three annual Jewish festivals. The Festival of Unleavened Bread, Passover, the Festival of Weeks, or Pentecost, and the Festival of Tabernacles. The city of Jerusalem sits up high on a hill, and it was tradition of these traveling pilgrims to sing these songs on the ascent, or uphill road to the city. As I've been listening to Pastor Corey's messages the past several weeks, and as I've been diving into my study in the last couple weeks, I can't help but place myself on that road, ascending up towards that city, and envisioning those Jewish people walking, making the journey with their friends and their family, worshiping God, singing these songs together as they made their way up towards their destination. So this morning, I'd like to ask you to do the same. As we read through this passage and as we dive into it, let's imagine that. Let's read it not just like some words on a page, but rather read it as if we're singing songs with a sense of emotional praise and worship to this God on this upward journey that we're on. If you'll read with me Psalm 128, it says this: "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace upon Israel." Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for who you are, Lord. We thank you for your word this morning, and this song that we can sing together, Lord, praising your mighty name. Lord, I just ask that you would speak through me into the hearts and the minds and the souls of the people here this morning, Lord. Lord, that we could better understand what it means to fear you, but also walk in your ways, Lord, and also praise the blessings that you give us for. Lord, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this psalm is appropriately titled, "Blessed is Everyone Who Fears the Lord." We're going to see four main points in it. The first one being obedience equals blessing. The second one being blessed are blessed with prosperous labor. The third one being blessed with a prosperous family. And the fourth one, blessed with a prosperous life. We're going to notice, too, a few correlations between it and Psalm 127. So if you were here last week, if you were paying attention, good for you. If you weren't here or you weren't paying attention, I'm going to help you connect the dots. But we'll see that first correlation right here in verse 1. So Psalm 127 closes with, Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them, speaking of children. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies at the gate. So we see this, blessed is the man. And our psalm today begins with what could be considered a follow-up or a deeper look into this. And we see in Psalm 128:1, it starts off and it says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and walks in his ways. So what I want to do is kind of break this down this morning. That first point, obedience equals blessing. Obedience equals blessing. And this obedience is broken down into two parts. It says fearing the Lord, and then walking in his ways. So obedience equals blessing, fearing the Lord, walking in his ways is this obedience. And it's very important, I believe, that we spend a little bit of time this morning before we get into the blessings. And I love the blessings. I love a good prosperity message. But we need to dive into what it means to fear the Lord. So a kind of sub-point, we got the first point is obedience equals blessing. A sub-point to that is, what does it look like to fear the Lord? What does it mean to fear God? Well, it's important that we differentiate fear into two categories. So first we have the fear of God equals this dread and this terror. This dread, this terror. And then we also have this fear of God that equals this reverential awe, this worshipful respect. And there's a difference between the two. And we have to divide them and look at them separately so we can best understand what this means this morning. So this dread, terror, fear of God equals dread and terror. What does that mean? What does that look like? I think one of the best examples we have of this type of fear exists in the garden with Adam and Eve. So after they had given in to their prideful desire and temptation and chose to eat the forbidden fruit, it says Genesis 3, 7 through 10, then the eyes of both were opened and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Every time I read this, it's like, I want to argue it's one of the saddest stories in Scripture. So you got this picture of Adam and Eve, the first children of God, running and hiding from their father. Up until that point, everything that he had made was good. Everything was beautiful, arguably perfect. The first children of God running and hiding from their father. I'd hate it if my children had that same fear of me. That if they messed up or they did something wrong, that they would run and hide from me in fear of what? That I might maybe beat them? That's the type of, they were afraid. I was afraid of you. And I hid myself. Let's consider this for a moment. So where our obedience will lead to blessings, is disobedience will lead to an unhealthy fear of God. This unhealthy fear of God that causes us to respond with this dread and terror. And it forces us to flee and hide ourselves from it. If you want an example of that, just look into the world. Why is it that people are afraid to come to church? Why is it that people are afraid to hear this gospel? We know that this gospel message is loving and amazing. This amazing grace, this amazing mercy. Why is it that people are afraid of that? They don't know it, and they don't admit it. Their eyes haven't been opened to it, but they too are fleeing from God. They're hiding themselves from Him. Why? Because they're disobedience. Deep down inside, they know that they're disobeying God. And they don't want to face that reality. So instead, they choose to live in their sin. And they're running and they're hiding themselves and their lifestyles from their Father. The further away they can get from Him, the better off they feel. This fear of dread and terror is real. Our disobedience is sin, which is breaking God's law and separating us from Him, which is punishable by what? Death. Death. And this fear of death is real, right? This terror, this dread, it leads to this fear of death. Why? Because it's a reality to all of us. I went to a funeral visitation thing Friday for a guy who's 34 years old, three little kids. Watching his loved ones come up and talk about this death that they just experienced. Hard that is. Not a single person in that room Friday would deny the fact that death is real. And that there's something in that death that grinds against us. It's a reality to every single one of us. But this fear of being told that you violated God's law and will be appropriately judged by it and condemned to hell is also real. And not too many people like hearing that. Which is also why a lot of churches avoid talking about it. It causes dread and terror. We want to be a church where everybody feels good to come in, right? Excited and happy. But simply put, for the unbeliever, the fear of God is the fear of the judgment of God and eternal death, which is eternal separation from God. There's nothing worse than being eternally separated from the Creator, being eternally separated from your Father. There's nothing worse than that. And that fear of God equals dread and terror. I don't like starting the message off with this. But it's how the psalmist started the song. So. But what about us as believers? Where are we at in this? Well, if you were singing with us a moment ago, and I saw everybody, and I saw some jaws moving. But there were some words on that screen during this, that song that said, "In Christ alone." What did we sing? We said, "No guilt in life, no fear in death." You guys remember singing that a moment ago? This is the power of Christ in me. That I have no guilt in life and no fear in death. For those of us who have been saved and redeemed, there's no longer fear in death. As the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 2, we've been freed from the fear of death. So where the unbeliever is held captive by that fear, we have been set free from it. I should just end the message right there, amen? That's something to praise God for. You no longer fear death. If we read 1 John 4:18, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love." See, as believers, we have been perfected in love. And that love, which is Christ Jesus, has cast out that fear of death by paying the wages for our sins. We don't fear death anymore because our debt has been paid. Amen? You guys can say amen. I've been drinking coffee all morning. I'm hyped up. I'm ready. We can get into it. We don't fear death anymore because our debt has been paid. So our fear now becomes this reverential awe, this worshipful respect towards our Heavenly Father. We don't run from Him. We run towards Him. Hebrews 12:28-29. It says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire." This reverence and awe is exactly what the fear of God means for Christians. This is the motivating factor for us to surrender to the Creator God of the universe. It's that same fear that we see in Proverbs 1:7 that states, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." And again, Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." Until we understand who God is and gain a reverential fear of Him, we cannot have true wisdom. True wisdom only comes from understanding who God is and that He is holy, just, and righteous. So again, where that fear of dread separates us eternally from the Father, this fear of awe and reverence draws us closer to Him. See, once you have that reverential fear of God, you can't get close enough to Him. Have you ever experienced that? The moment that life starts to go in a bad direction, you turn back to the loving Father and say, "Lord, I need You." The world will run away from Him. But we run towards Him because we know that He's our only source of hope. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and walks in His ways. The next point here, looking deeper at this, walks in His ways. So who fears the Lord and walks in His ways. Deuteronomy 10 verse 12 and then 20 and 22, 21 says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and hold fast to him, and by his name you shall swear. He is your praise. He is your God who has done for you these great and terrifying things that your eyes have seen. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, which allows us to know and understand how to walk in his ways. So it allows us to know how to serve him, how to honor him, how to glorify him. You see, that healthy, reverent, worshipful fear of God goes hand in hand with walking in his ways. Our reverence for him forces us to worship and serve him with our whole lives. Why? Because he has saved and redeemed us from the punishment of our sins. How else do you repay? You can't earn it. If you can't earn it, you can't pay for it. If you can't pay for it, you can't pay him back. What do? It's simple. You only ask for one thing. Your whole life. Just give your whole life to him. That's all he asks. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Fear him and keep his commandments. If you were here earlier for our Bible study hour, we had a little precursor to this. I hope it's clicking now. And we have this perfect example to follow in Jesus, right? So there's never a question about what does it mean to walk in his ways. Or that this God who exists too high up doesn't understand us as humans, right? He came down, he lived, he walked, he endured pain, conflict. He knows everything that you've been through, and he's shown us how to live through it. But as we continue on, we're going to see what life looks like for those who fear God and walk in his ways. That point number two, blessed with prosperous labor. We read Psalm 128:2 now. It says, "You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Blessed is everyone who fear God and walk in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands." That sounds good. Let's notice a couple things here. First, if we revisit Genesis 3, again we see that after Adam and Eve sinned against God, he judges them. Genesis 3:17-19 says, "And to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." As we see in the creation account, that God worked, right? He created things. And then he created us in his image to be workers. Yet we were created to work with him, within the garden and throughout the world. Yet thanks to Adam, he sins against God, which caused the separation now. God cursed the ground that we're to work. Work became difficult. This word toil is used, which means challenge, difficulty, exhaustion, struggle. Has anybody ever toiled in their labor? Work itself is still good, but man must expect that it will be accomplished by the sweat of his brow. It's going to be hard. Also, the result will not always be positive. Although man will eat the plants in the field will also produce thorns and thistles. Hard work and effort will not always be rewarded in the way that we expect or desire. Looking back to Psalm 127 again, you may remember Pastor Corey had spoke about laboring in vain, or eating the bread of anxious toil. Do you remember what preceded those statements? Unless the Lord. So those statements were preceded with, unless the Lord. Unless the Lord does it. Unless the Lord is in it. Unless it's of His will. Unless you fear Him and walk in His ways, your labor and hard work will be done in vain. Deuteronomy 28:33. It's a section properly titled Curses for Disobedience. You guys should read chapter 28 sometime. It says, a nation that you have not known shall eat up the fruit of your ground and all of your labors, and you shall be only oppressed, crushed continually, so that you are driven mad by the sights that your eyes see. Imagine for a moment what it would be like to work and labor, yet rather than enjoying the fruits of your hard work, it would be stripped from you. Started thinking about saying something about taxes, but I decided not to. Picture that for a moment. I mean, we have a garden in the backyard. What if our neighbor, which isn't high, like too unlikely, came over and stole all of our vegetables? I would be upset. I mean, he could come and ask, but he could just come and take. Now, this is to the extreme of that, though. Unless you fear Him and walk in His ways, your labor and hard work will be done in vain. Yet for those who fear God and walk in His ways, He blesses us with the fruits of our labor. Now if we go to Deuteronomy 28, the beginning of the chapter, it's titled Blessings for Obedience. It says this, and if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds, and the young of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. For when you fear God and walk in His ways, you shall be blessed with prosperous labor. That's something to desire. Our third point today, blessed with a prosperous family. Psalm 128:3 says, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Let's first look at the curse that God placed over women. Women after Eve sinned against Him in the garden. Genesis 3:16 says, to the woman He said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. Think of this contrast here, this immense pain during childbearing, and at odds with her husband, which is a battle with the created order. This is the curse placed upon the woman. And we've all experienced it in one way or the other, right? We've known somebody who's had pregnancy issues, maybe. Pregnancy pains. The conflict between a husband and a wife. Being at odds with each other. It's unhealthy. But for those who fear God and walk in His ways, through His overwhelming grace, He still chooses to bless us. So this curse was placed on us at the beginning. But He still chooses to bless us. So think about this. A prosperous family who has a wife who is fruitful like a vine within the home. Imagine the perfect picture of a family, a husband and a wife. She brings joy and gladness, and she will be fruitful, bringing children into the world. Again, going back to Psalm 127, verse 3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. A blessed wife will be blessed with children, which will extend the family. Large families were viewed as a tremendous blessing in the ancient Near East, which is a bit contrary to today. I lose count often how many children my sister has. I just counted the other day, so I know she has 9. It's a lot. 3 is a lot. 9 is 3 times that, which is 3 times a lot. So, but I explained this to a guy Friday. He's like, how is your sister doing? Like, she's doing well. She's got a lot of kids. And kind of went through the whole thing. And he's like, it's kind of cool, though. That's how things used to be. Yeah, it is. Like, why is it that today we have this stigma over having a lot of kids as being a detriment to the family? It's a blessing to the family. You know, it's funny because there's this back and forth in society. You don't want to have too many kids, or you don't this, that, and the other. But at the same time, we still celebrate it. Everyone celebrates it. Find out somebody's pregnant, you get excited for whatever reason. It wasn't supposed to be fun. But we do, we celebrate it. Why is that? We have baby showers, now we have these gender reveal parties. I don't know if those are still a thing. But it's a natural excitement that we have over these children being born. Now think about this, the children will be like olive shoots around your table, full of energy and promise. Olive trees were known for vitality and strength, productivity and longevity. For Jeanette and I, we've strived to kind of set this goal of success for our children. We desire for them to be successful in their faith, meaning to be raised up in learning and understanding and knowing the way to the Father. We've been blessed in that. Last year, all three were baptized. And we desire for them to be successful in their relationships with family and friends. We desire for them to be successful in their studies and through their labor. And I can stand here today praising and thanking God for His blessing over our children. He has blessed them. Jeanette and I have experienced this blessing. These awesome olive shoots around our table. And what a beautiful picture of the home that is. The home and family in which God desires us to have looks like something like that. For when you fear God and walk in His ways, you shall be blessed with a prosperous family. And our final point is blessed with a prosperous life. Psalm 128:5-6-7. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace upon Israel. For those who have faithfully obeyed God, who have feared Him with reverence and awe, who have walked in His ways, you can and will experience a prosperous life under His protection. All of the days of your life, forever on this earth and into eternity.
You are listening.
It says, may you see your children's children. Obviously, I'm not there yet, but I've experienced my own grandparents. My grandpa's 89. And I've also experienced my children experience their grandparents, and what a blessing that is. And I know that several of you here have experienced your children's children, and then that blessing. The successful expansion of the family, just as God has designed and created it. This olive shoot that lives and prospers. It's a great way to close the psalm with this blessing. For when you fear God and walk in His ways, you shall be blessed with a prosperous life. You shall be blessed with a prosperous family. And you shall be blessed with prosperous labor. So again, remind ourselves where we're at. These pilgrims that are singing these songs as they're working their way up. Much like these pilgrims, we too are on a journey towards a land that is high and lifted up. Might not know it, but we're just passing through. We're just passing through this place. This life here is not our final home. That's something to be thankful for. Because we all know that this journey that we're on, this pilgrimage, can be tough. It can be unbearable. Going through this, I was thinking, some of you might be thinking, Bobby, I haven't experienced some of these blessings that you mentioned. Maybe you've experienced the loss of a job, and or the financial stress that comes along with that. Maybe it's a broken home. You've been divorced, or your parents have been divorced. Maybe it's struggles with your children. Maybe even the inability to have children. Maybe you've been at or come to a place where you just feel defeated by life as a whole. You're thinking, I just haven't and don't experience these blessings. Well, for the unbeliever, I need to tell you to turn towards God. To stop running from Him. Stop hiding from Him. Because He desires a relationship with you. He desires for you to be blessed with a prosperous life. But you must first gain that healthy fear of Him. You must begin to walk in obedience to Him. In these pews, we have all these Bibles. They can seem overwhelming, but they all give guidance to how you need to live a life that glorifies and honors God. When it comes to walking in His ways, how do you do that? You got to read the Bible. It tells you how. for the believer this morning, I'm sure you too have experienced these struggles. Maybe you too are in a place of doubt and questioning. And I tell you this morning, though, that regardless of whether or not you've experienced the blessings mentioned in this psalm, I can promise that you've still been blessed in other ways. You see, because while you too were still far off, while you too were running and hiding from God, He sent His Son to die for you. While you were living in your sin and disobedience, He bled for you. And that blood has washed you as clean as can be. That sin debt of death has been paid. While you two were far, far off, He was calling you home. The financial struggles, He still provides for you daily. That broken home that you grew up in or that you lived in, guess what? He's preparing one that's greater. If you have struggles with your children, guess what? The Heavenly Father does too. They're all right here. We must remain in that reverent, awestruck, respectful worship of Him, praising all that He has done and continues to do while praying and asking that He brings restoration back to our lives. See, while we too were just sojourners and pilgrims traveling through this life, we're heading towards a place that's high and lifted up. He calls us child and righteous and redeemed, heirs to His kingdom. I don't know a greater truth or blessing than that, my friends. Our God is good, He is sovereign, and He is faithful. Pray with me again. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your faithfulness. Lord, we thank You for showing us how to walk in Your ways. Lord, we thank You for the blessing of salvation. Lord, that despite our natural instinct to rebel against You, to run and hide from You, Lord, that You have redeemed us back to Yourself. Lord, we thank You for paying the debt that we couldn't pay. Lord, we thank You for Jesus, for the death that He paid for us on that cross, the blood that He shed for us on that cross, Lord, so that we could be washed as white as snow. Lord, all we can do is live in this life in this reverent fear and awe of You. Give our lives to You, Lord, to serve You, to love You, to obey all that You've commanded us. Lord, and I want to pray too for those that are struggling with all this. Lord, we might know somebody, we might have a friend or a family member, Lord, that's on the run from God. Lord, we pray that You would reach down and grab a hold of them. Lord, that Your truth would be revealed to them, that they would no longer have this fear of terror and dread, Lord, that they would turn to You and just love You. That fear would become a healthy fear, where all they want to do is serve You. Lord, that they would come to know this great gift that we have of salvation. Lord, and by believing in You, by trusting in You, by walking in Your ways and having this healthy fear of reverence towards You, Lord, they too can experience these blessings for the rest of their lives and the rest of eternity. Lord, again, we thank You so much for being loving and gracious and faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.